Dude, when you start swimming with a tortoise, like a big one, like fucking that big, you know, and you feel like you're just part of nature, and they try to get away with you, and you're like, oh, fuck off, nature. I'm part of you right now. You ain't going nowhere. And they dive, and you dive too. And all you want to do, and they tell you not to, but all you want to do is grab your fucking fingers in the right into his back and be like, wherever you go, I'm going with you. Whatever your magical realm is, that you and your turtle friends hang out and eat people soup, I'm fucking coming with you.
New Year's Eve, don't it seem like decades ago? Back in 2019, back when life was slow. Now it's June, we're just halfway done. 2020, hey, are we having fun? How many years will we try to cram into one?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to and welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Take, episode 412, the 2020, my 2020 year in review. I do this every year. Oh my God, I'm so fucking hot. Oh, I shaved my head for yoga. I'm a yogi now. So guys, I do this every year, and what I do is I just talk about how it's not so much politics or sports or new cars or anything like that. It's just the shit I've done for the year. Pretty fucking fun. Let's make sure I'm recording. I am. So this year, I mean, obviously way different than most years. Most years, for me personally, I have fun travel stories to tell you. I have faraway places and details of those places to regale you with. It's the first time I've used the word regale all year. It's a new year. It's 2021. I decided to wait until the year was over. I'm going to turn this down a little bit because I'm talking loud. Because I wanted to include New Year's. I always hate it when the fucking MVP voting for sports, they always do it like in football, they'll do it like in week 14. I'm like, dude, there's 3 weeks left. What if somebody fucking lights it up? Why not just wait till the end? Is it a problem getting the sports broadcasters to fucking get their votes in? Email, dude. It ain't the 30s. And I hated that. So I decided to wait until the year was over. So let's just break it down, you guys. Let's just break it down. The year started for me at the end of very last year. On December 30th, I was flying from Oakland to New York. I was visiting my boyfriend's family. Fun time. JetBlue, this will come back. JetBlue canceled our flights. They didn't. When will they fucking email you ahead of time? When will they text you? You always say, like, can you give us your phone number so in case anything happens to the flights? And you're like, absolutely. Because I would love an update on the flights. My time is valuable. I'd rather spend it at home fucking watching Rick and Morty reruns. They're all reruns. Then hanging out at the airport. The airport's fun, but not that fun. You can't masturbate at the airport. You can, I have many times. You gotta go to the bathroom. But in your home, you can masturbate anywhere you want. As long as you don't live with a chair. Great, all right, great. Great sound. That's the sound of fucking, if you can hear it, chainsaws breaking up wood. You know they always have axe throwing? Why don't they have chainsaw throwing? Montana, I'm talking to you. Flight was delayed. We got there and they're like, hey, sorry. The flight's actually not going to leave tonight. It's going to be tomorrow. And we're like, what? I mean, at the gate. I'm like, why? Like, it never left from New York. I'm like, it's a 5 or 6 hour flight from New York. We're here an hour and 20 minutes early, and the drive over here was 20 minutes, so that's an hour 40. You must have known that the flight isn't taking off. Why didn't you text us? And right then, me and my boyfriend both got texts like, hey, sorry, the flight's delayed. Fuck off. And they gave us one of those vouchers. You have 1 year to use it, which is like, 1 year to use the fucking voucher that they give you, for, I think $200, something like that. Not bad, but like, this should just be on your, and then you got to remember, you got to like, tell them you have one. It should just be automatically applied. Next time you fly JetBlue, you should be like, hey, by the way, your $300 ticket, it's $100. We looked at your account, your freaking flyers. It's already there. They don't want you to use it. One time they gave me a $10 drink voucher. On the plane, they handed them out. And I'm like, I'm landing. I'm not going to use it. I gave it to someone else. They probably didn't use it either. But either way, did a mitzvah. Anyway, took the December 30th, landing the 31st flight. By that point, we were fucking dead tired from flying all night. We spent a quiet New Year's Eve, 2019, not knowing that there's something out there that's going to change everybody's life. It's already affecting people. The World Health Organization, WHO, they tried to tell us. They told everybody they could, right? There's a problem. What are they covering up? I don't know anything about that politics shit, but like, come on, dude. You fucking failed. And by, you might be asking myself, if you're watching on YouTube, right, you're asking, why are you talking in a microphone and a lav mic? Because user error. I have fucked up so many goddamn recordings by not fucking pressing record. So, got in on my fire escape. We watched the fireworks, New Year's Eve fireworks, over Manhattan, the neighborhood fireworks, and just kept it easy. And it was a lovely New Year's Eve. It really was. It was great. Calm and cool. Not many fireworks. January 2nd, 3rd, flew to Seattle to do Spokane Comedy Club. Great club. I don't even know if it survived. Then Minneapolis. Oh, I see what's happening here. That thing is off. Well, that's, hopefully it works. Shit. How's the frame there? How's the frame? Off? Okay, not bad. Not bad. So then I started doing my tour. I was getting ready for my special, my 1, 2, 3, 4th special. You might say you already did 4. The last one was a double special. It was a single special. 2-parter, double negative on Netflix. You can still watch it right now. Flew to Minneapolis. Then I started doing venues. I started doing bigger venues because I wanted to match. I wanted to be ready for the fucking bigger venue that I was doing for my special. February 7th and 8th in New York City at the Skirball Center. Wasn't going to do it at Skirball, but Michelle Wolf was like, Ari, it's a fucking, I performed there now 4 times. She did 2 specials there. And she goes, it's a fucking good room. She calls it as good or better than the Wilbur in Boston. I was like, well, that's one of the things I was thinking about. So, but I've already done this hour there. So fucking sure. The Jew hour. That's what I called it. Ari Shaffir, Jew. Then I started doing venues and I started matching it with some relaxation. I wanted to get a tan. I did New Orleans at the beginning of the year. And I spent 3 or 4 days there. Oh my God, what a fucking fun town. I asked Sean Patton. He's from there. He's a New Orleans resident. We did one podcast early on about Katrina. We did one years ago about New Orleans. Mark Norman's there also. But Sean Patton seems more New Orleans. And I asked him for all these tips. Where should we stay? What place should we go to? He gave me a fucking list of local tips. Not the tourist spots. We did a couple of those. We got the fucking beignet, the powdered beignet from whatever place that is. But we did some fucking local shit. We saw some music. Or we ate po' boys. I love gumbo. I love po' boys. I like fucking... Gumbo, po' boys, gumbo, jambalaya. I love all those things. Oh, and I ate hella. Man, what a fun town New Orleans is. I would love to move there. I wish they had a comedy club. Why doesn't someone open up a comedy club in New York? I think Sean Patton should, him and Norman or something, because you get an investor, but I don't know if it'll work there. I think people just don't go out like that. Anyway, great time. From there, quick trip to Atlanta, where I did a show, with Adrian Appalucci, my opener, the Dark Queen, and I got to do it with William Childress, who did my very first show of this tour in Georgia. Wherever that, who lost in the University of Georgia? What city is that? Yeah, that's where I did. So he did the very first show of mine for the tour. Did one of the very last shows too, because he lives in Atlanta. So it was a pleasure to have him there. My friend from Myanmar. Well, no, I met him in Cambodia, but he booked me in. He used to live in Myanmar. If you want to hear a podcast with him that's really good about Myanmar, Jesutun Made, episode something with William Childress. And then I went to Hawaii, and it was so fucking cool. I did the Big Island. I was there for fucking 18 hours. From everything I heard, you don't got to be there. Maui, just hung out at a fucking resort that I hung out at the Maui Comedy Festival years ago. Loved it. Scuba dive, Black Rock. Fucking, dude, when you start swimming with a tortoise, like a big one, like fucking that big, you know, and you feel like you're just part of nature, and they try to get away with you, and you're like, oh, fuck off, nature. I'm part of you right now. You ain't going nowhere. And they dive, and you dive too. And all you want to do, and they tell you not to, but all you want to do is grab your fucking fingers in the right into his back and be like, wherever you go, I'm going with you. Whatever your magical realm is, that you and your turtle friends hang out and eat people soup, I'm fucking coming with you. But you can't do that. Why? One, it's illegal and it's very bad for the tortoise. And that's why it's illegal. Two, other people will see you and judge you, as I judged other people for doing the exact thing that I wanted to do. I did learn that about people this year. We will judge each other for doing the same shit that we do. Myself included. Shit, is it going to rain? Look at this fucking... Who else is doing backdrops like this? Tim Dillon, maybe. Kauai, when hiking in the most beautiful fucking hikes. Dude, you get up, and there's a thing where you got to walk like... I'll show you on YouTube. Where you got to walk like along a crevice, but like this, where you're like... You got to like put your foot down, and it's like straight down cliff over there. And you got... There's like places where you got... I'm going to do this if I fucking wipe out... gonna be funny on camera. You gotta like jump over big crevice. I did it. And somehow now fucking break your ass just so you can get to the end of a fucking 5-hour hike where it's an ice cold waterfall coming down from the mountains. And everyone's like, you're not going, are you? I'm like, you're goddamn right, I'm going in. I'm Ari Shaffir and I jump into waterfalls at the end of hikes. Fucking freezing. And it was way up in the mountains, so it wasn't even like Hawaii warm, where when you get out, it'll fucking cool you down. Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. I took notes for this, by the way, to make sure I'm fucking on course. I also have resolutions. Do you guys have resolutions? Yeah. I have some resolutions to fucking go over. So at the end of the episode, we'll do the resolutions. Also, I'll list them, I guess, to the bottom of this episode. Hello, welcome to the ad read. Today's ad is by 3chi.com. They sponsor this sweet-ass backdrop. So, what is 3chi.com? Well, they're the industry leader in Delta 8 products. What is Delta 8 THC products? Well, it's THC, first and foremost. You should know that. Now, it's federally legal, but you got to be 21 and over to purchase it. Why do you have to be 21 and over to purchase 3chi from 3chi.com or your local retailers? Why? Because it's going to get you fucked up. Dude, the whole Gas Digital staff has been on this shit nonstop. And they're all walking around fucked up constantly. I'm telling you, you got to be 21. That's the thing. It's not CBD. It's psychoactive. So you got to use it responsibly. If you use the promo code SKEPTIC at checkout, you get 5% off your first order. Oh, just your order in general. Maybe not even your first one. That's 3chi.com and retailers around the country. Must be 21 and over to purchase. It's made with products grown in the USA, with USA-grown hemp, made by biochemists. But guys, it's psychoactive. So it's not going to get you paranoid like regular weed will. It's engineered, but no matter what, it's going to get you fucked up. So enjoy it. 3chi.com. Thank you very much for sponsoring the Year in Review podcast. Everybody over there at 3chi.com. If you're not in a fucking daze right now, I appreciate it. Use promo code SKEPTIC at checkout for 5% off your order. Now back to the part two of the Year in Review.
Oh, Kauai was fucking epic.
Then I came home and did one more big show in Pittsburgh at McKee's Rocks or something like that. Adrian Appalucci. In the next week or two, I'm going to be playing her new album, cover to cover, for free for you guys. In return for, we have a GoFundMe or PayPal or Venmo, we're going to do that and we're going to see if we can fucking make it worthwhile. But I'll tell you about that later. We did a show that was so fucking good there. And Adrian's like, I wish you recorded that, Ari. It was so fucking good. That's the thing people don't tell you about specials. It's not just about the material. It's about, one, how it's shot. And two, how the audience is. Every show is how the audience is. Same fucking hour. Same 15 minutes. You can do New York Comedy Club and then go to the Stand. And one could be fucking killer. One could be like, man, that sucked. And everyone's like, yeah, this crowd sucks. So, you know, if you're recording in a crowd that sucks, it's going to fucking suck. And that Pittsburgh crowd was fucking juiced. Should have recorded there. But she was like, I wish you recorded there. I was like, Adrian, I get it. I get what you're saying. Maybe I should have. But New York at the Skirball Center, it'll be even better. This is about Jews. There'll be way more Jews there. I've made it work for people who have never even heard of Judaism. And in a New York crowd, a hometown crowd like that, I talked it over with Joe Rogan. I was like, where should we do it? Somebody wants, my manager wants to do it in Philadelphia, this giant synagogue with a sound so-so. And he goes, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Do it in your home club. Make sure it's great. And I hadn't done this in New York yet this hour. I did it once or twice at the Comedy Cellar, but only for like 80 people. And I was like, Adrian, it'll be even better in New York. I was wrong. I was wrong, but not for the reasons I could have guessed. And then I came home, and then I think I had like one or two more shows before I was going to record my, wait, what did I say, fifth? My own, the chill special, which is called Passive Aggressive. I got to put that up on my YouTube account, youtube.com/Ari Shaffir. Then Paid Regular, which is available nowhere right now. I have to re-record that so I can just put it up on YouTube. And then Double Negative. And then this one will be my fourth. Jew will be my fourth. Resolutions. Okay, here we go. And then Charlotte. And then Charlotte. My last one in Charlotte. And let me see. What are we at now here time-wise? Ooh, 18 minutes. I don't want this to go 2 hours, but it might. And then so I was hanging out with Adrian in Charlotte. And I got some interesting news. I feel like moving locations right now. So I'll do this and then I'll move locations. So here's something I'd like to do. I like to fuck with, I don't know, the status quo. It's just fun for me. It's one of the things I get off on in my, I don't know, whatever you call it, form of expression, you know? And I like to use, a lot of times I like to use audience in order to achieve that goal, to prove my points. Big J, one of my finest compliments, actually. Big J said, I did something in Paid Regular where I was talking about doing a bit about acting and how easy it is, how anybody can do acting. In the middle of it, this fucking heckler starts on the side at the Comedy Store. This fucking heckler, he starts talking. He's not even heckling me. He's just talking to his fucking friend, loud. That's another shit. It's like they're not talking at you, so you gotta be real careful. Like, how do I fucking shut them the fuck up without making the crowd lose me, because they're like, we didn't notice, but the people around them know. Once I start seeing people go like this in the audience, like looking at another audience member, I'm like, hey, you're fucking up their ticket. They paid $29, or if you're watching a Bird or Segura show, you're paying $69 to see a show, and that guy's lowering the value. So now you've overpaid, because you paid for a show to watch. You didn't pay for a show to like barely be able to hear, because this fucking drunk is talking. Once that happens, one of my favorites, one of the first times I realized that, I was at the Improv, New Year's Eve, opening up for Joe Rogan. He's a sports analyst on ESPN. And this guy kept talking, and eventually I saw people like turning around looking at him. It was bothering them. And I generally don't like to fuck with hecklers when I was the opener, because I'm like, it kind of disrupts the whole show. Certain points, you got no choice. You just got to do it. And I'm like, listen, I told the headliners, I'm like, I'm sorry, I was left no choice. And I don't like to do it unless I have no choice. This guy kept talking. I felt like I had no choice. And at that point, I'd been working with Joe Rogan for years. So he trusted me. And eventually I was like, went back and forth with him a little bit. He wouldn't shut up. He was an annoying drunk. And I was like, hey, dude, you got to go. And he goes, and right then, the bouncers of the improv, who were great at the time, start coming towards him. So imagine him here, the bouncers are over there behind him, and they're coming in this way. And he goes, and I'm like, dude, it's time to go. You got to go. You're fucking with everybody. It's annoying now. And he goes, I ain't going anywhere, not seeing the people behind him. So, like, I could see everything unfolding, and he couldn't. It was almost like you're watching a movie for the second time, and the character's trying to avoid what you know is going to happen. You're about to get shot. And he's like, I ain't going anywhere, like, challenging me, like, I'm tougher than you. And I'm like, yes, you are. You're about to go. And then right then he felt a hand on his shoulder, just fucking, and he's like, what the fuck? I'm like, yeah, that's what I was talking about, dude. That's exactly what I was referencing. So why did I bring up, okay. So this heckler is on the side, in the middle of my fucking special taping. Not a heckler, just a loud talker. People start trying to get attention. I'm like, hey, shut the fuck up. Who's talking? And I know I'll cut this out. You know, if it doesn't go anywhere, I can just cut it out of my special. But I don't want to deal with it. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Who's talking? Somebody pointed at who was talking. And I was like, hey, shut up. I don't care who it is. They pointed to, and I was like, just shut the fuck up already. You can't do this now. I've been at the Comedy Store long enough to know that you cannot rely on a fucking door guy at the Comedy Store. He might be, one, out front, seating people, getting people ready. He might, the door guy should do it, but I once spent 15 straight minutes telling a guy to shut the fuck up, and I got off and I told Tommy, I was like, Tommy, why didn't anybody fucking tell him to shut up? Not even kick him out, just tell him to shut up. And he goes, oh, was he bothering you? I'm like, I spent my whole fucking set talking. Whatever. It's in the past. But I get it. Again, you judge people for doing the same shit you did. I was a door guy. I was terrible. Here's something the door guys might be doing. Out back smoking weed. Upstairs in one of the fucking random rooms at the Comedy Store trying to fuck an audience member. Just fucking off in general. One thing, me, Ren Azizi, Simone, Painter, but maybe playing poker in a fucking makeshift casino that we made. The manager to run into the bartenders and be like, hey, you guys, we need drinks served. And the bartender, the Thai bartender's like, one more hand. He's like, no more hands, you're at work. Oh, dude, they got loose. I love gambling. I miss you guys. I miss those Thai bartenders. Tony Backbar, you were great, dude. You were so angry at the drop of a hat. You were great. You like me. I tipped. I knew what you had to do. And I told the guy, shut the fuck up. And everyone's like, oh, I think it's him. I think it's him. They start pointing at each other. And then I go, I just turned to the crowd. And I go, oh, by the way, no one was saying anything. I'm actually, that's just acting. That's how easy it is. I'm just acting. So everyone in the crowd, they were like, oh, shit, somebody's, you know. And they start pointing at each other like, it was him. Get it? I used the crowd to prove my point. And so I said, that's how easy acting is. You just have to play pretend. It's so fucking dumb. By the way, you might ask, Ari, how come you don't do any acting? The last time I did an acting job, it was so fucking lame that I swore I would never do anything I knew that was going to be bad again. You can't make me. I'm having a fun time doing stand-up. You can't force me into a high-paying gig that's fucking lame. And I'm sorry to those people who rely on me for money. I'm sorry. This year, my agent called me. He's like, all right, you pass up every, like, 3/4 of the auditions we send you. You don't even try. Should we stop sending you out? I'm like, kind of, yeah. Unless it's a Tarantino movie or a fucking writing job on South Park. I'm just not interested. Why would you want to do something shitty? I can make really good money on the road. If I was making $3,000 a week on the road, I'd be making really good money on the road. That's $60,000 a year doing 20 weeks. Uh-oh. Shit, what the fuck is this? I gotta pause. Oh. Hola. Damn, bro. No way. Cool. No fucking way. Where am I? Okay, I would love to say this is planned, but it was not. How many of them are there? More. What? I mean, what? I thought I was all alone. Let me set this shit up again. Oh my God. That was fucking ridiculous. Hold on, let me set the camera right. Nope. Okay. Oh, there's audio also. It's mostly audio. Sometimes I know I'm talking to the camera, so I forget audio. I'm sorry, audio. I'm sorry, you guys. If you don't know, if you're not watching YouTube, youtube.com/Ari Shaffir, a fucking biker gang just rolled by. A BMX fucking motocross biker gang. Oh, I think it's a motocross thing over there. They're probably headed, this is just off-roading. Make sure this is correct. Is this even? How's that? That looks more even. God damn, that was weird. So just fucking 6 or 8 bikers. BMX biker? Not BMX. Motocross bikers. Just fucking ran by. Okay. Forget what just happened. Literally, there's no way I'm going to be able to remember where I was. I'll try in a second, but there's no way. It might be with Big J. That has to be the fucking dorkiest biker gang I've ever seen in my life. For a minute, I was like, oh, should I be scared? And then the way they looked, it's like, you should not be scared. There were 6 of them. It was like Mad Max. South American Mad Max. I should know the word for angry by now. Bonito? No. That's pretty, I think. Muy lindo. That's cute. Nah, whatever. Okay, so back to it. I like using people to prove my point. Using people who aren't necessarily on my side to prove my point. So when all those people turned and looked at this guy who was talking loud, heckling, they helped me prove my point that it's like acting is so easy. Oh, I know why. My acting. So he's like, she was like, my acting agent. She was like, should we just stop sending you out? I was like, I really think you should. Every time I get an audition, I just feel bad. I feel bad that I'm wasting your time. And all the people that I fucked over by saying like, hey, I don't want to do this project. You've made it lame. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I have some fucking integrity, but I'm not going to do some fucking lame sketch show. I'm sorry. It was a cool show to start with. It became lame. Your fucking producer let it happen. I told him 50 fucking times, if he keeps changing this, I'm not going to do it. I want to work with my 3 writers, and I want to do this show that he pitched me, not some other show. And what did he do? He didn't listen to a fucking word my writer said, and he just pitched his own fucking show, and it was a goddamn corny sketch show with the writer of Comedy Knockout. No offense. It's just not my style of comedy. I have no interest in doing it. So I'm sorry if I lost you money, but there's no way I was going to fucking work for 2 years on a goddamn corny project. It was never in the world going to happen. It was never going to happen. The producer lied to me left and right, wouldn't listen to a word I said. I wasn't interested. I'm sorry it cost you money, but really, your producer should have done a better job protecting your fucking talent. Okay, do I have to tilt this down again? Yeah, maybe. Okay. So. Oh, anyway. So I like to use the audience to prove my point. Big J, one of the best compliments I've ever gotten. I respect the shit out of Big J, especially as a riffer, as a riffing comic. Top 5 in the world. I like to go conservatively because you feel like, what about so-and-so? You're like, oh, that's an acceptable answer, you know? Top 5, top 10, definitely. It's still a fucking high level. Even if you go conservative and you're like, fine, I don't think that guy's better, but maybe. Still, if you say top 10 something in the world, pretty solid. My balls are definitely top 10 longest balls in the world. And Big J goes, Ari, I actually watched that special. And I was like, he said this on Legion of Skanks once during the election, I think. And he goes, not during the election, during the trial. And he goes, I'll get to that later. And he goes, yeah, I was actually fooled. I saw that. I was like, oh, fuck, somebody's fucking with Ari's special. I can't fucking believe it. I fooled him into thinking that there actually was a heckler. That's how easy it was. I got Jay or any of the audience members It gives me joy to get jokes out of a abnormal place. I like it. I think it's like cool. I got Jay to believe that I was not acting when I was. That's how easy it was. That proves my point. There you go. So something I've been doing for a long time is I noticed that fucking people get, myself included, get almost embarrassingly emotional at the passing of a celebrity. Now, there's two types of passings that I've seen. The one where the guy is, the celebrity is still working, so you're actually missing out on something. You actually have lost. Heath Ledger's a good example of that. Heath Ledger was still in the middle of fucking working. He was in the middle of a long fucking Hall of Fame acting career. And he died. He died well. He partied. I think those bikers are going to come back. Philip Seymour Hoffman got back into heroin. Fucking died well. Partied. You know, he was like, oh shit, I'm overdosing, but I don't fucking care. It feels so fucking good. He died well. He died in the middle of a fucking career. And there's other people who die, like, I remember an old one I did, it was Tom Petty. Actually, I'll save Tom Petty for a second. Adam West, the old Batman. And people were like, oh, it's so sad, he died. And I'm like, is it that? Or the guy this year died, the guy who said, Lean on Me, Bill Withers. And I was like, I can't believe he died. It was like, you all just found out he's alive still. You haven't heard from him in 20 years. You haven't thought about him in 20 years. You thought that was a good song, but you haven't thought about the guy. You assumed he was dead. And then you found out he wasn't, and everybody goes online to get likes and to show publicly that it's like, and to make it about themselves, really. To be like, I heard David Bowie at a party when I was 16 and I knew he was great then. So I'll make his death about me because I'm interested in myself. That's social media. And I always sort of found it gross. And what I found the most gross was when Tom Petty died, I was legitimately sad. 5, 6, 7 years ago. It was during a Sober October. We were doing the yoga challenge. What got me the idea to do Yoga with Ari on YouTube right now. Yoga with Ari. 31-day January challenge. You start from the day you're on. You're listening to it right now. Start from day one and do 31 days in a row. Doesn't matter. Or, you know, take the weekends off and do 31 days in like 45 days total. YouTube.com/Ari Shaffir. There is a yoga playlist. So I was like upset when he died. I remember going into Fierce Grace Yoga Studio, formerly called Bikram, but then Bikram came out. He raped a lot of people. And then all these yoga people were like, hey, can we still, oh, fuck. And then they were all like, well, we're just going to teach him Bikram teachings, and we're not going to call it Bikram anymore. We're just going to keep doing all the steps, you know, this, that, and then like this one, whatever. Oh, I got to go further back so you can see, you know, all of them. I'm a yogi. And then Bikram was like, who had fled to fucking India, he was like, his company was like, you can say you don't work here because I'm a rapist. Doesn't work that way for copyright laws. We'll sue the shit out of you and we'll win. And everyone's like, motherfucker. So all these yoga people who are very spiritual, and I mean, in terms of the rape scale of who's for rape to okay with rape to indifferent about rape to against it to very against it, people who do yoga, listen, no research done. I think they're very, very against rape. I think they're like here on the scale. On that sliding scale, I think they're way near the bottom. The very against rape people. So it was troubling for them. So they all renamed. And then all they do now is to teach different types of teachings, which is cool. They can still do hot yoga, I think. So Fierce Grace, that's what they renamed it. She's great. She's great. What a fucking pure, beautiful person. She fucking donates her time at girls' schools. When everyone else is like, you suck. She's like, let me fucking make the world the place I want to be. And she goes and donates her time to a fucking girls' school in Alphabet City where they don't have fucking, whatever. She's great. Yes, I forgot her name. Is it Grace? No. Grace is the adjective there, not a name. Anyway, I remember walking into and they were playing Tom Petty, and it was like, fuck, I can't believe he's gone. And Tom Petty hadn't done anything of value that anybody noticed in so long. I mean, Wallflowers was probably his last great album. The last DJ was probably, that one he came from behind was like, oh, wow, okay, he did something. It was over. King of the Hill, he was great on. It was a long time gone. And I found myself So I hadn't looked at Tom Petty in a long time. I found myself getting genuinely upset. And I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. Like, why am I upset that a guy I've never met, who never heard of me, and who was no longer doing anything that I would gain from? Why would this upset me that much? It embarrassed me. I think that might have been my first one. I started to do a Twitter campaign where I just take the moment to shit on them. Just shit on the guy. Just to, like, mock me, myself, for feeling so emotional about some celebrity. Because was his life, after he was done producing stuff, when he was still producing, I get it, his life was worth more than some guy at fucking Walmart. But when he was done, his work's still there. I can still access it. It doesn't go with him. He's not a fucking Egyptian. Dude, more are coming. I gotta set this shit up. Okay, here we go. Get out of the way. Definitely can already hear them. So if they come, they come. Do you think they made a big fucking loop? I didn't see them over there. I gotta set this up better. Becky, I'm sorry, but you gotta know. How am I supposed to understand this? This is why I like DIY, you guys. So I can just change the fucking camera angle and get fucking weird motocross people. This is why I do my podcast this way. A little river. That looks fucking cool as shit.
Tweeter and the Monkey Man were hard up for cash. They stayed up all night selling cocaine and hash to an undercover cop who had a sister named Jan. For reasons unexplained, she loved the Monkey Man. Tweeter was a Boy Scout before she went to Vietnam and found out the hard way nobody gives a damn. They knew that they'd find freedom just across the Jersey line. So they hopped into a stolen car, took Highway 99.
And the walls came down, all the way to hell. Never saw them when they standing, never saw them when they fell.
The undercover cop never liked the Monkey Man. Childhood, he wanted to see him in the can. Jan got married at 14 to a racketeer named Bill. She made secret calls to the Monkey Man from a mansion on the hill. It was out on Thunder Road, Tweeter at the wheel. They crashed into paradise, they could hear them tires squeal. The undercover cop pulled up and said, every one of you's a liar. If you don't surrender now, it's gonna go down to the wire. Close behind, Tweeter took his gun away and messed up his mind. The undercover cop was left tied up to a tree near the souvenir stand by the old abandoned factory. Next day, the undercover cop was a hot in pursuit. He was taking the whole thing personal. He didn't care about the loot. Janet told him many times it was you to me who taught that Jersey anything's legal. As long as you don't get caught.
The walls came down, all the way to hell. Never saw them when they're standing, never saw them when they fell.
Someplace by Railway Prison, they ran out of gas. The undercover cop had cornered them. Oh, you didn't think that this could last. Jan jumped up out of bed, said there's someplace I gotta go. She took a gun out of the drawer and said it's best that you don't know. The undercover cop was found face down in a field. The Monkey Man was on the river bridge using Tweeter as a shield. Jan said to the Monkey Man, I'm not fooled by Tweeter's curl. I knew him long before he ever became a Jersey girl.
And the
town of Jersey City.